Welcome, everybody, to another week of our online services. So to Memorial Road members, thanks for tuning in. If you're a local church somewhere else and you're tuning in, we're thankful to have you here. And maybe you're kind of a friend of a friend and you just happen to get the link somewhere. We're just thankful for you as well. So whatever reason you find yourself tuning in on this Easter Sunday, let me just say welcome, and we love you and thank you for being here on behalf of Memorial Road. So as we get going, let's get to the Easter selfies here. So a lot of you sent in pictures just a few moments ago at the beginning of our service. So you'll see a few of these on the screen. It's really nice to see people. We've got top left, we've got some, are those two cats? They're very large. The cats are nearly as big as the children. Got another cat in the next picture over. I like the top right, lounging on the couch. That's a great way to do church. We got the Easter bunny ears in the middle. We got a puppy at the bottom. This is fantastic. So thank you for sending these pictures in. And we got the masks, worshiping with masks at home. This is excellent. We're going to post a lot of these in person, actually, in our lobby. So hopefully you can see these in a physical space later on. And also we'll post these online as well. So thank you for sending those in. Before I hop into my Easter message, I want to let you know about one new event we're going to start this week. We're calling it QC, and it stands for Quarantine Conversations. And the idea here is we want to start interviewing a few people from our church family who are experts in various fields of discipline, and we want to check on how they are doing. So we're going to interview some medical professionals, we're going to interview some people in the education field, and we just want to get a report on, hey, how's that going from your perspective? We also want to interview some people that have some expertise on how we can manage the time here. And so our first interview this week is going to be one of those interviews. We're going to interview one of our members, a LPC, Jeff McMillan, who worked at this church family a really, really long time. He has attended here and still attends here for many, many years. He currently is the spiritual life director at Oklahoma Christian, and we're going to ask him about how do we make the most of this? You know, if you're single, you're probably dealing with a lot of time alone, and that's hard. If you're married or have kids, you're spending more time with these people than you have in a long time, and it's really easy to argue and just get irritated with each other. And so we're going to talk with Jeff about half an hour, Thursday, 1 o'clock on Facebook Live, and he's going to share with us just some ways that we can make the most of this time. So join that conversation, and you'll be able to chime in with questions, and we think that'll be a really, really helpful thing for our church family. So having said that, let me tell you a story. So about 2 months ago, I'm teaching class, a group of teenagers, and it's about time for me to get up and talk, and one of the youth interns, a guy named Grayson Boker, he runs up to me while I'm sitting in the audience with a pair of handcuffs, and he just slaps it on my wrist, and then he just walks away right before I teach. And I look at him and say, Grayson, this is, you know, it's a funny joke, I'm handcuffed, but seriously, like, I'm about to teach, you need to get the handcuffs off. Well, he just leaves the room. Like, he doesn't pull the handcuffs off. And so the song ends and everybody's waiting for me to get up. And so I have no choice. And I actually have to stand up and I just teach a lesson with the handcuffs dangling from my wrist. I actually don't remember what I taught about. In hindsight, you always think about these things in hindsight. I should have, told the story of Samson breaking the chains, or maybe even better would be the story of the bear attacking the children for disrespecting Elisha. But I didn't do either one of those things. And after I taught the lesson, I was mingling around with people, and I was looking for Grayson to unlock me, and I was calling and texting him. The dude left, in his car, away from the building, and the handcuffs he put me in were not the kind that has the safety latch, which is the kind I have right now. They were the kind that you had to use a key. And so I don't even know who this was. A teenage girl got a bobby pin out of her hair, and she actually had to pick the lock to set me free, which is a great spiritual gift, being able to practice evasion and breaking things. Now, I did call Grayson later, and there wasn't any, like, he wasn't trying to be mean. He was just playing a good joke, and it was a good joke. Now, I tell that story to bring up this point. This is how a lot of us feel right now. We just feel handcuffed. Like, there's just a lot of things we can't do. Like, I miss going to sit-down restaurants. I miss traveling. I just want to go to the zoo, for crying out loud. Like, there's so many things that we can't do, and it's hard to know how to move forward, and it's hard to know how do we make it through this as better people. Because one of the things I've learned is I've talked to a lot of you, and this is one of the things you're saying, like, you want to have a good attitude, you want to get through this and have high character and really make the most of it, but you don't exactly know how to do that, and I don't exactly know how to do that. So here's what I want to do this Easter Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I just want to give you two tools that you can use to really make the most of this season. So every part of the Bible tells the resurrection story a little bit differently. And so one of the places in the Bible that we don't go to very often to talk about resurrection would be the book of Revelation. And so I want to read a passage from Revelation chapter 12, and this passage is really interesting. It talks about this cosmic battle between good and evil. So verse 7 of Revelation chapter 12, Scripture says this: "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him." Now that is quite a story. I don't know about you, but I have so many questions about that story. Like, what exactly is happening? Where is this happening? When is this happening? What does the battle look like? But for a moment, I want you to focus on kind of the main point of the story is that there is a war going on. Satan is defeated and God wins. That's the point of the story. Well, it's really interesting because after this story, there's this announcement that takes place in the very next verse. So this is verse 10. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah.'" So that's quite a list of things to come. Here's why they've come. "For the accuser," and he's talking about Satan again here, "the accuser of our brother and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." So he's really telling the same story that he's just told. There's this big battle, there's God versus Satan, and Satan is thrown down, Satan is destroyed. Now I find this next part really interesting. Verse 11, "They triumphed over him." So who is they? It's not the angels. In this verse, they is actually the people. It's just Christian people. And so it's a really interesting text because on the first part of the story, you have the story described as the angels and God's forces are responsible for the downfall of Satan. But in this next part of the story, it's the people. People like you and me. And what scholars tell us is that it's the same story, just described in two different vantage points. One is the view from above, one is the view from below. And what I am most keenly interested in knowing is how did the people fight against Satan? Well, it tells us, and I find this next line super fascinating. "They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, if you put those together, the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, what these people are doing is pretty simple. They're telling the story of Jesus. They're verbalizing what they know to be true, that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and that 3 days later, he busted out of the grave to deal with death decisively once for all. They're telling the gospel story, and there is something very powerful that happens when you and I tell this story. And so here's the first tool that you and I have at our disposal as we feel handcuffed in this time. you have a story. And telling that story pushes back against the darkness. Telling this story somehow, some way, has this cosmic effect on the dark powers that are at work in this world. So let me give you an example of how this actually works in Scripture. So in the book of Acts, we have Peter and John, and they heal this guy, and then all these religious leaders get mad because they don't have the authority to heal this guy. And so they arrest Peter and John, put him in jail. And Peter and John really don't have a whole lot of resources at their disposal to get them out of this fix. They don't have money to get bail. They can't hire a lawyer. They don't have political connections to secure some kind of a favor. And so they don't really know what they're going to do. Next morning, this big group of religious leaders, there's probably about 100 of them, they call them out and they make Peter and John defend themselves. And here's what Peter and John say in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. "Know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." They tell a story. They tell the story that they know really, really well, that Jesus died and then he rose. And what's amazing is that the telling of the story changes the teller of the story. And so Peter and John, who just a few weeks back were so scared that they ran away when the guards came and arrested Jesus, now they're standing up in front of this group of 100 people and they're declaring to these men, "Jesus Christ rose from the dead." Well, how is this happening? I think the reason it's happening is because when we tell the story of the gospel, somehow the power of the resurrection comes to us. In fact, the text says that the members of the Sanhedrin were astonished because of the courage of Peter and John. And so in other words, what's happening, maybe you can think about it this way, that the telling of the story of the resurrection, I think it calls forward the power of the resurrection. So you might think of the resurrection as this massive boulder that was dropped into this lake. Well, that created this huge splash. But as history has moved forward, there are still ripple effects of this monumental moment. And the way that you and I tap into this power of resurrection is pretty simple. We tell the story. When we tell the story, somehow, some way, mysteriously, the power of resurrection comes into our lives. This is what's happening in the book of Revelation. Again, remember this. The text tells us in Revelation that Satan is defeated because of the word of their testimony. So there's something powerful about telling the story. In fact, just repeat after me. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. Just telling the story has power. And so here's one of my favorite modern day stories about someone telling the story of Jesus and how it impacted their own story. It's a lady named Margaret Lee. And she's a Scottish lady, and she actually died a few years ago from a throat cancer. And so there was this tumor growing on her throat, and as it got worse and worse and worse, it got to the point where she could not speak. And so she was just laying in her bed, and people would come visit her, and because she couldn't speak, they just felt so sorry for her, and understandably so. And so they would sit by her bedside, and they would tell her things, but she just saw the pity on their faces, and that began to bother her, because she didn't feel as sorry for herself as they felt for her. And so one day, this lady comes in and sits by Margaret's bed and just says, "Margaret, I'm just so sorry, and I just hate this for you." And Margaret was fed up. She grabbed a napkin, and she scrawled out this incredible message that I want to read to you. Here's what she wrote on the napkin. "This is not the worst thing to ever happen. Cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love, shatter hope, corrode faith, eat away peace, destroy confidence, kill friendship, shut out memories, silence courage, quench the spirit, or lessen the power of Jesus." She's just telling her story. And when we tell the story of the gospel, what it does is it starts to change us. So here's what I want you to think about. A year from now, you're going to be sitting around in some small group or some Bible class or in your family or with a friend. What is the story that you want to tell yourself about this season? Like, what's your story going to be? Whatever that story is, you need to live that out right now, because stories are powerful. And even though the coronavirus is taking a lot of things away, it has not taken away our story. You have a story. Here's a second tool. So Satan's defeated. Back to this Revelation text. Here's what happens next. Revelation 12, verse 12. This is the response. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. So what do we do when we hear a great story? We sing about it. We celebrate. In fact, much of the book of Revelation is actually about worship. So praise and glory and honor and power be unto our God forever and ever. That's in Revelation. The word hallelujah, which means praise God, it's in all of our songs. That's only found in one book of the Bible, Revelation. In fact, it's only found in one chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19. And so this book of Revelation, it calls us to worship. And so here's a second tool that you have. Not only do you have a story, you have a song. And your song, your worship, your praise, it's a weapon against the darkness. Here's another example. Let's go back to the book of Acts. A lot of you know this familiar story. Paul and Silas are in jail, kind of like Peter and John, except they have it way worse. They've been falsely accused of some things, and so they got thrown in jail. And if you remember the story, they're singing in the middle of prison. And if there's ever a story in the Bible that just resonates with our time, it's this one. Like this, if you need a mental picture to get through this pandemic, here's your mental picture. And I just want to paint it again, because sometimes we forget just how dark this particular story would have been. Paul and Silas, they got arrested. The text in the scripture says they were beaten with rods. You ever got hit with a baseball bat? Wouldn't feel very good. The text also says that they were flogged. And so we know exactly what this was like. They would take whips, and the whips would have pieces of metal and pieces of stone, and they would lash these whips across their backs and pull them and just rip off pieces of flesh. We usually think about whipping in regards to Jesus, but this is what's happening to Paul now. In fact, the text says that they were flogged severely. And so their backs would have been torn apart. There would have been so much lacerations in the muscles that you would not have even known what this was if you had seen it. It would have looked like a piece of butchered meat. So Paul and Silas, after they're brutally beaten and whipped and tortured, they're thrown into this dungeon, which would have been cold and clammy. It would have smelled like sewage. They were thrown in the inner cell. The people around them in other cells would have been the criminals of the day, the murderers and the thieves. And they're sitting in the dungeon. The blood's oozing out of their back. And here's what Scripture says happens. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That is incredible. Like, they are on to something. I heard a great line about this story about 4 or 5 years ago. It's my favorite line about the story I've ever heard. It's from a preacher named Carl Lentz, and he said this: praise is a problem for your problem. See, I've got problems, you've got problems, we've all got problems. Like, we can't hug people, we can't visit loved ones in the hospital. That's really getting to me lately. Several of you have told me stories about, like, your dad or your sister, people you love, are in the hospital right now, and you can't even go and see them. Like, that's a problem. A lot of you are already starting to feel the financial burden of this. You've lost your job. We've got problems. Some of you are depressed. Like, you are so alone, so isolated, you don't know what to do. Others of you, you're spending so much time with your families that you're starting to fight. Others of you, you had a problem that it had nothing to do with the coronavirus. But now that we're in the pandemic, whatever problem you already had has just been elevated and magnified and inflated. We've all got them. Everybody's got a problem. But if you want to create a problem for your problem, maybe you should try to praise God. Because praise is a problem for your problem. This virus has taken away so many things, but I'm telling you, it cannot take away our praise. So the year was 1958, and there was a girl named Jamila Jones, and she was a teenager at the time, and Martin Luther King, he was leading the charge against the oppression against blacks in our country. And Jamila, what she was doing, it was a pretty small role, but she was in a choir. And their job, her and the few people in this choir, they were learning a few songs, and they were singing these songs at rallies so that protesters would keep their courage up. Well, one day Jamila was with her choir, and they were practicing in the middle of this random school in Tennessee, only people in the building. Police officers came into the building and shut the lights off. Went pitch black. Jamila and her friends, they stopped singing and they got really, really scared. And they heard the sound of the officers walking towards them room by room. They figured they had guns and they figured they had billy clubs. And then Jamila did something that required a lot of bravery. In the middle of the darkness, she began to sing. And then the people around her, they started singing too. And pretty soon the officers came into the room. And they screamed at this choir to stop singing, but they just kept singing. And the more they sang, the more courage they felt. And then the way that Jamila tells the story is that one of the officers actually raises a gun and points it at the group and says, "If you don't stop singing, I'm going to fire this weapon." But the group just kept singing. And then something really strange happened. The people singing the song were the ones that were supposed to be scared and the ones that were supposed to be afraid and the ones that were supposed to be shaking. But Jamila says that the officer holding the gun started to shake because he was afraid. And that group kept singing and they kept singing and they kept singing and they kept getting louder and louder and louder. And finally the officer lowered his gun and the officers left the building. Years later in an interview, Jamila said this. Here's what she learned that night. She said, "I knew that night the power of our music." I love this line. "It captured the guns and billy clubs. It captured all that came from the dark." So here's what I'm saying. Even when you're tired and you're sad and you're afraid and you're frustrated and you're stricken by the fear of death, even in those moments, you know what you can do? You can worship. And when you worship our Father in heaven, and when you praise Him for busting His Son out of the grave, and when you praise Him for giving you the gift of eternal life, something happens. And maybe your problem doesn't go away immediately, and it probably won't, but what happens is when you're praising God, it changes the way you think about your problems. They just don't seem as big. They just don't seem as bad. They just don't seem as dominating in your life because God seems way bigger when we worship Him. So you've got a story, and you have a song. And so here's what we want to do to celebrate Easter Sunday. We have two videos we want to show you this morning. One is about our story, and the other is about our song. And so this first video we're going to show you, it's a video of some of our members doing something called cardboard testimonies. And if you've never seen this before, a cardboard testimony is when someone tells their story in just a few words. And so on one side of the cardboard, you're going to see the first part of their story, which represents how the darkness overwhelmed them. And then they're going to flip that board over. And the second part of their story is going to tell you how the light overcame the darkness. So watch this video about our stories.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame, Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame, power in hand, speaking the Father's plan, sending us out, light in this broken land. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame, Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame, Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. You overcame,
Jesus.
You overcame. You overcame.
I watched that beforehand so I would try to hold it together, but that didn't work. And I'm now touching my face, which I'm not supposed to do. But so a few things. One, I would say if you know someone in that video, just send them a text. It's hard to be vulnerable like that and to tell a lot of people your story. But so thank you for all the people that participated in that video. And I would just say, and let's flood those people with encouragement today. And then secondly, after this next video, if there's going to be a slide, if you do need to talk to a minister, we're available. We'd love to meet with you or be with you if you need something. That number is going to be on the screen after this second video. But then last thing I'll say is just when you hear great stories of Jesus working, you got to do what Revelation says to do, which is to worship. So God is working. He's working in the darkness. And if you look close enough, you can see his presence everywhere. And when you see that, you got to tell them about it. You got to worship. So we're going to show you one more video, and there's a lot of people that worked hard on this next video. So I want you to really enjoy it, and you might even, I'd turn your volume up on your TV or your computer, because this is a powerful video about a group of people coming together to worship our Father in heaven. So let's watch this second video.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree, his body bound.
Jesus' name.